We're going to start lying on the floor with your knees bent, feet wide apart. If you're using a yoga mat, feet can be about as wide as your yoga mat, knees knocking in together. Otherwise, feet just slightly wider than your hips, knees together. Let your hands rest on the chest and the belly. Allow the eyes to soften. Maybe eyes close all the way if that's comfortable for you, and just take a beat, letting the body drop down into the earth. Feeling the movement of your breath, inhales and exhales, up underneath and moving away from the palms. Loosening the grip on any thought, any physical feeling that comes front of mind into the support of the earth. From here, a windshield wiper of your knees, nice and easy, side to side. We'll think American windshield wipers, less European, so knees moving in the same direction, to the right and to the left. Allow your arms to come out towards a cactus or T shape, and from here, let both knees fall over towards the right. Feet are staggered, knees are staggered. Take your gaze over the left shoulder just for an easy twist, and take a big breath into the left side. Good. Take the knees back up across center, head on over toward the left with the knees knocking heavy. Turn the gaze over to the right side. Again, big inhale, easy exhale. Good, bringing your knees back up through center. Start to lift the knees towards the chest, feet up off the ground. Reach the hands to cup for the kneecaps. Arms can be more or less straight, fingers pointing same direction as toes, and then take a few circles with the knees so you can give that space of the low back, that area of your sacrum, a little bit of heaviness, like a gentle massage against the ground. And then you'll let your hands hold the backs of the thighs. So long as it's comfortable for you, tucking chin slightly into the chest, start a gentle rocking motion up and down the spine a few times. If rocking up and down doesn't feel good, you're welcome to just roll over to the side. And then with some momentum with those rocks, you're going to rock all the way up to come onto the hands and knees, flipping yourself over so that the knees are underneath the hips and the hands are underneath the shoulders. Yeah, so you'll come into a tabletop shape. Once you're there, knees under hips, hands under shoulders, spread the fingers, press through the knuckle pads of the hands. Make sure those knees are underneath your hips so you have full distance between hands and knees. And then feet separated hips distance, press through the tops of the feet, almost like you could press the tops of the shins, tops of the feet firmly down into the floor. Take an inhale, arch the back, open the chest, lift your butt, lift your gaze up. Exhale, round the spine, drop your tail, drop your head, curl everything back up and in. Good, inhale, arch the back, open the chest, collarbones broad, gaze can lift. Good, exhale, round the spine, drop your tail, drop your head, curl back up and in. Two more of those. Inhale, you'll arch, open the chest. Good, exhale, round, pull everything back up and in. Beautiful, one more of these. Inhale, you'll arch the back, collarbones broad, seat lifts. And exhale, round the spine. Good. From here, you'll take a gentle arch of the back, open the chest, look slightly forward. Take your knees a little bit wider apart. Bring your big toes together to touch. Toes are pointed, so tops of the feet rest on the floor. Timmy, tops of the feet, there we go. And then bring your butt back toward the heels and take yourself to a child's pose. Chest reaching forward, forehead releasing down toward the ground. Take a beat here, just allow your breath to open up into the back line of the body. So if you can imagine the breath not being able to just travel in the front of the chest, but rather being able to travel into the sides of the ribs, the back space of the ribs as well, you're creating more of a three-dimensional breath here. And then with the torso still close to the ground, head stays heavy, take a walk with the chest and the arms over on the diagonal to the right side. You'll want to think keeping the left seat as a heavy anchor on the left heel, reaching out through the left fingertips, especially to get a tug through that left sideline of the waist. Beautiful. Come back across center. Take the hands for a walk past middle over to the left side, fingertips reaching on the long diagonal. The right seat stays anchored and heavy as you reach through the right fingertips. And then a big breath into the right lungs, like you could open up like Venetian blinds with light coming through. The breath opens that side space up. Beautiful. Walk your hands back through center. Once your hands are back through middle, start to shift yourself forward. Weight shifts into the palms, so lift your seat up. Beautiful. Pull the knees a little closer together, and we'll tuck our toes and pull our hips up and back to come into our first downward facing dog. Hips lift high, head drops heavy, feet, heels. Try and reach down toward the floor. Now, dog is personal to everyone. You know, we see lots of dogs out in the world. So this length of our dog is going to be personal to each of us. To find your personal measure, come forward to a plank pose, top of a push-up. Your shoulders will stack over the wrists. And for most of us, probably shimmying our feet back is a good idea so that the legs can be straight, toes tucked against the floor. Hips are more or less in line with the shoulders and gaze is slightly forward. Now stay here for one more breath in. As you exhale, lift your hips up and back to downward facing dog. Keep the hands and the feet where you place them in that plank pose. And then with a dog pose for technique today, I'm going to ask you to take a nice deep bend into both knees. As you bend your knees, I want you to then think you're sticking your butt way high up and back. So the knees have a bend. They're not on the ground. They're still lifted. Your legs are still pressing back in space. But with your hips lifting high, the hands pressing forward and down, you get the feeling of the chest pressing back to the thighs. And this feeling that the spine itself has a nice crescendo, a release out of the pelvis toward the ground. Come forward to a plank pose, top of a push-up. Look forward, reach the heels back. And then from here, bend into the knees, hinge your hips high, downward facing dog. Down dog with the knees bent, hips lifted. Forward to a plank pose, top of a push-up, inhale. And then exhale, pull your hips high, down dog with soft bend in the knees. One more of these. Forward to a plank pose just to get a little heat going in the system. And then lift your hips high, soft bend in the knees, downward facing dog. So nice. From here, feet walk forward to your hands. You'll come into a standing forward fold at the top of the mat. For your first standing forward fold, I always say first fold is generally the worst fold, hardest for us to do. Backs of legs can be really tight with our day-to-day activities. So separate your feet as much as you want. Could be hips distance, could even be slightly wider, but the only thing I'll ask you to do is in this practice, we're trying to move away from personal propensities into more of an archetypal form. So with this, I want you to think your feet are placed like on graph paper. Take a look down at your feet right now. Pull the heels, probably for most of us, slightly wider so that if you were to run the outer seam of the feet parallel to the outer lines of your yoga mat or the outer lines of the walls of the space you're in, you'd be lining yourself up with something greater than just yourself. Think that you could spread your toes so you get a real presence across the front of the foot. And then with fingertips on the floor, with a bend in both knees, because you don't need to have straight legs in this first fold of practice, rock the weight a little forward and a little back toward the ball of the foot, toward the heel of the foot. Just seeing what we can play with where our weight shifts on these 2 feet that, you know, hold us up all day, every day. And then do a little rock side to side, shifting the weight to the outer arch and the inner arch of opposite feet, side to side a few times. And then just start to feel what might be your personal middle. With general anatomy, it's thought that our weight should be placed between the big toe ball mound and the pinky mound at the front of the foot, and then centered at the front of the heel. So you make this simple tripod stance with your foot on where you're trying to balance your weight. So it's not too heavy back in the heel of the foot. You're not too far forward in the ball of the foot, but rather registering where the hips can be lined up right over that front heel space. With a soft bend, still in the knees, take your hands and hold opposite elbows. I know you're here for a while in these hangs and your legs are probably starting to shake at least a little bit, but let your torso swing side to side because some movement in these shapes is going to keep us in the shape a little longer. Take an inhale through your nose. If it's comfortable, open mouth exhale. Let the jaw soften. Let the eyes soften. And then really slow, really easy. Keep a bend in the knees. Think belly pulls back into spine to protect the low back. I want you to roll up to stand. Tail dropping. Vertebra by vertebra, you find that feeling of a stacking up. Your head is the last thing to lift. And then as the head lifts on top of the spine, if you have that elbow hold, release the arms down. Take a big shoulder roll up, back, and then down. Again, like that, shoulders rolling up, back, and then down. Sweep the arms wide out and up to the ceiling. With that, hook your thumbs above you. Thumbs hooked, fingers reaching straight up to the ceiling, lift and take a lean over to the right side with the torso pressing down firmly into your left foot. Come back up through center, lift through both sides of the waist, and then lean over to the left side, pressing down into your right foot. Good. Come back up through center. Let the arms just release down alongside you. Bring your feet to about hips distance apart now, and that measure will take from standing. Take your right foot, turn it in 90 degrees so that the big toe of the right foot touches the inner side of the left heel, all the way next to the left heel. Good. Now keep your right heel where it is and direct the right toes forward. Turn the right toes forward. Turn your right toes forward. There we go. Great. And that's a good measure for your inner hips distance. Hands just released alongside the body. Eyes can settle to a soft focus or all the way to close. So you're just standing upright on both feet. And then again, play that feeling of rocking forward and back to the ball of the foot and to the heel of the foot. Doesn't have to be super extreme, but just enough that you're starting to feel where weight can shift. And then take that little side teeter to the right side, to the left side a few times. Let it move into a circle, going front side, back side in one direction. And then circle the other way, front side, back side. And then again, you just finding your personal center. Finding a place of hovering right around middle where the movement becomes less obvious to the outside eye and almost starts to become more contained in your internal structures. Still current, still liveliness running through the system, but less of having to show it to anyone else, more of your implicit sense of energy passing through. With the focus still soft, so it's not about what you can see outside of you, imagine a golden line of energy being dropped down from above. Can be the universe, can be the sky, whatever you deem to be above you, through the crown of your head, through the brain, past the soft palate at the back of the mouth, down the throat, through the center of the chest, all the way past the thoracic diaphragm sitting at the base of the lungs, through the soft organs of the belly, all the way down into the pelvis, to the base of the pelvis, the perineum, dropping down between the legs, all the way down between the space between both feet, dropping down to the floor, to the earth, as far down into the earth as you can imagine underneath you. And with that, making a connection between what is below and what is above. As we move through the practice, a lot of our yoga, we're considering how we're playing our physical space, our mental space, our spiritual space between polarities. And so this primary polarity of earth and what I'll call right now heaven, but you can really use whatever word of what's above you that makes sense in your mind's eye. And you are right here in the middle, navigating, mediating, modulating your center. From there, eyes can open if they're closed. Sweep the arms wide out and up toward the ceiling. Lift the gaze as the hands reach that high peak, looking up. And then a soft bend in the knees as you hinge forward at the hips, allowing yourself to come back into a forward fold. Let the hands come down toward the floor. Let the head heavy. Have a moment. Maybe you shake your head out. Relax the neck. Good. Open the chest. Lengthen the spine. Look forward. Step back with your left foot so you're in a low lunge on the right side. Long lunge so your back leg is straight. Your front knee is stacked right over the front ankle. And then from here, tap your back knee down to the floor. Point the back toes long. Good. Laying your chest along that front thigh just to give yourself more of a measure. Take a look down front knee and front foot. I want them lining up. So the front heel right at a 90 degree angle with the knee and the hip. Good. From here, open the chest, look forward. If you need to, hands on the top front thigh. Otherwise, reach the arms straight up toward the ceiling, coming in for a crescent lunge or anjaneyasana, as we call it in a yoga practice. Hook the thumbs above you. And then again, fingers reaching up toward the ceiling. Allow that energetic lift from the hands to lift the torso up. Get lighter on the pelvis. Hips can stay slightly forward, so you're still opening up that front hip space on the left side, and take a big breath in. As you exhale, hands float wide and down to the floor, framing your front foot, hands down on the ground. And then from here, keep your back knee on the ground and just start to pull your hips back slightly in space, straightening out the right leg. The right foot might need to shimmy forward a little bit, and you're going to start to lift the right toes up off this floor, flex the toes up toward the ceiling, and the heel digs down into the ground. Yes, it's like a runner's stretch. We're here just for a beat to help open up the back of that right leg line. Take a big inhale. And exhale. Good. Bend into your right knee. Once again, coming forward, tuck the back toes, lift the back knee up so you're back in that low lunge shape. And then from here, front knee stays bent to 90. Left hand can be on the floor. I love being propped up onto fingertips. Take your right thumb to its own hip crease. Wrap the hips slightly back. Start to turn your chest open toward the right side. And then from there, you're going to let the right hand reach up toward the ceiling. Left hand stays on the ground. Gaze might turn up if it's comfortable with the neck. Take a big inhale. Good. And exhale. Let the hand reach forward and all the way down to the floor, framing the front foot again. This time, hands are going to plant down. You're going to step right foot back into a plank pose, top of a push-up. Beautiful. Looking slightly forward. Body can stay in one line as you bend your elbows back alongside you, lowering all the way onto the belly. Good. Point the toes long. Take your hands slightly wider. So hands still in line with the center of the chest, but widen them out about 3 inches to the right and left. Elbows still bent. Elbows still bent, Timmy. More bend. Yes. Elbows bent up toward the ceiling. And then take your hands onto fingertips. So you're just on the fingertips of the hands. Gorgeous. Pressing fingertips down, pressing feet down. Even you can think of pressing the pubic bone on the front of the pelvis down. Start to lift your head and your chest away from the ground. And then as you exhale, you're going to release the chest and the forehead back down. Now, as high as you want to go in these back bends, it's really up to you. Inhale, you'll lift your head and your chest away from the floor, curling through the back bend. And exhale, releasing back forward and down. Beautiful. One more of these. Inhale, we lift up through the head and the chest. And then exhale, releasing back forward and down. Hands come right alongside your ribs on the floor, like a push-up shape. And then use the hands, use a bend of the knees to push yourself back through hands and knees. So press your hands into the ground and press up into a tabletop shape. And then from here, bring your knees together, your feet together. Tuck your toes underneath. And then you're going to bring your butt back toward the heels of the feet. Walk your hands back as well. And if it's available, as best you can, start to lift your torso upright to have a seat on the heels without the hands on the ground. For some of us, this is going to be so intense, we'll want to keep our hands forward on the floor. But otherwise, we're just going to stretch open the arches and the soles of the feet for a beat, because those are a vital part of our chain on the back line of the body opening up. Take your hands interlaced in front of your chest. Interlace your hands in front of your chest. Interlace your hands in front of your chest. Flip the heel of the hand forward, and then reach the arms forward out in front of you, and then reach the arms up towards the ceiling. Good. From here, hands pressing up toward the ceiling, like you're pressing up the ceiling above you, while you keep the weight anchored down through the hips, through those feet. So this feeling again of a polarity running through us and being able to move ourselves in two directions at the same time. We can be both grounded and earthy, as well as light, airy, and available to whatever's above. Take a big breath in. Good. As you exhale, release the interlacing of the fingers. Allow the hands to float forward to the floor out in front of you. Once the hands are on the ground, shift your butt forward so you're back in a tabletop shape, hands and knees, and then point the toes. And then this is just more for fun than for anything else. With the tops of the feet on the floor, just do a gentle tap, 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 tap of the top of the feet on the floor to undo that steep tucking of the toes. Beautiful. From here, hands just about a palm print forward in front of your shoulders. Press into those palms, tuck the toes, lift knees and hips, pull up and back through downward facing dog. Good. Easy walk of your feet forward towards your hands. You're coming back into a forward hang at the top of the mat. There might be a quality difference between right and left legs because we've done one side of the body and not the other yet. So a lot of yoga, again, is not about final shapes, but rather you being able to start to pay attention to where you are in time and space. So each time we come back to a shape we've done before, just noticing the shift in quality, the shift in how you greet yourself in the shape, the shift maybe in how the breath moves through you in the shape. Really easy, rolling up towards standing. Again, soft bend in the knees is recommended. Hugging belly back into spine is recommended for safety. And then sweep the arms wide out and up toward the ceiling. This time, let your right hand grab your left wrist. Once you have hold of the wrist, lift the right heel just slightly off the ground. Just the heel, ball of the foot stays on the ground. Pressing into that left foot, lift up through both sides of the waist, and then take a lean over toward the right side, pulling with the right hand that left wrist over to the right. With the right heel lifted, you'll put more weight in that left foot. Beautiful. Come back up through center. Drop the right heel. Swap the grip of the wrist. Lift the left heel just slightly again. Yeah, exactly. And then lift up and lean over toward the left side, pressing down into your right foot. Big breath in. And exhale. Good. Come back through center. Both heels on the floor. Take your hands, once again, interlacing the fingers above you, and then flip the heel of the hand up toward the ceiling. Good. You can keep your feet hips distance. I actually like to widen my feet just a little bit more, so take the feet even slightly wider than the hips is nice. And then with a soft bend in the knees, we're going to do what we call an around the world shape with the torso. So you're going to keep a bend in both knees, lean the torso over to the right side, and then curl the body forward across the middle, all the way over toward the left side, lateral side bend there, and then lift up into a baby back bend. Do that one more time. Over to the right side, curling forward and across center, head on over toward the left side, and then a little baby back bend at the top. Head to the left side this time. Over to the left, round it forward and across. It can be seamless. Over to the right side. And then little back bend as you come up through center. One more time, to the left, across middle, all the way over toward the right, and then little baby back bend. Gorgeous. Stay at center. Take the hands now, release the interlacing, and bring the hands behind your back, behind your low back, exactly. Hook the thumbs together behind your low back. Or if it's comfortable with the shoulders, interlace the fingers there. That can be really intense. It's a little bit of a tighter bind. Roll your upper arm bones back in space. Let the hands pull down toward the floor back behind you, arms straight so the chest gets a nice lift. And then bend into both knees. Bend into both knees. Stick your butt back like you're coming into a chair shape. So bend the knees, sit the butt back. And then dive your chest and your chin forward. Dive your head down to the floor. As the head releases down, you can start to straighten the legs a little more. Let the arms arc any amount up toward the ceiling that feels okay in these shoulders. And then just take a beat in this forward hang once again. Big inhale. And exhale. Let the hands release down to the floor. From here, we're going to step back with our right foot. So you're in a low lunge on the left side. Left foot forward, right foot back. And again, we're taking a nice long lunge stance. So right foot far back, left knee is bent just about to 90 degrees. And then take a second, tap your back knee down to the floor, point the back toes long. And then laying your chest along that front thigh, making a ton of contact, chest to thigh, left armpit wrapping over the left knee. Your body is a perfect measure unto itself. So a lot of our practice is fitting ourselves back to ourselves. From here, arms reaching up towards the ceiling. When you're ready, you can hook the thumbs above you and just take that moment of finding space for the lungs. My teacher, Naveen Mishan of Katona Yoga, references the reach of the arms up like you're opening the windows of the lungs. So if you can imagine, as you take a breath in, it's like a fresh breeze pulling through the lung space, which right now we're in a little bit of a sweaty New York City situation, so a fresh breeze is always necessary. Take one more breath in here. As you exhale, hands come down to frame the front foot. As the hands come down to the ground, we're going to keep back knee on the floor, pull our hips back in space, start to straighten out your left leg, flex the toes to the ceiling as best you can. I know that's gnarly for a lot of us on the back of that left hamstring space, the back of the left thigh, but we're here just for a beat. Soften the jaw. Maybe you flutter out through the lips. Allow yourself to just give the muscle a bit of time to find some length. And then you're going to re-bend into your left knee. Come back through a low lunge. Tuck your back toes. Lift your back knee up. Stay in the low lunge shape. Front knee bent to 90. Right hand or right fingertips on the floor underneath the shoulder. Left thumb to its own hip crease. Wrap the hips slightly back as you start to turn your chest toward the left side. And then when you're ready, left hand reaches up towards the ceiling. You're in that twist. Gaze might turn up if it's comfortable for the neck. Otherwise, gaze can stay to the side or to the floor, and take one more breath in. And exhale. Hand releases forward, around, and down to the ground, framing the front foot. Step your way back through plank pose, top of a push-up. Beautiful. From here, keeping hands and feet where they are, lift your hips high to a downward facing dog. I'm going to give a slight variation. You're welcome to choose which variation feels right for you from here. We're going to either take an inhale to come forward to just a plank pose, top of a push-up. If your spine feels ready, you can lower the pelvis slightly, keeping toes tucked, knees lifted, thighs lifted, and pull your chest through for an upward facing dog, one of those big arcing back bends engaging with the legs, and then swing your butt up and back to a downward facing dog, hips are high. We're going to do that twice more. Inhale, pulling forward and through to an upward facing dog, chest forward, and then bringing yourself back downward facing dog, hips are high. Yeah, one more time like that. Inhale, either to plank pose or to up dog. You're playing your variation. And then seat lifts up and back, downward facing dog. Again, we're back in a dog pose, a shape we've taken a few times now today. Noticing the quality of how your dog has shifted, hands pressing firmly down, seat lifting high, heels reaching down to the floor. Take one more breath in and exhale. We'll all come forward to a plank pose from here. Option to tap knees to the floor or keep knees lifted. You'll look slightly forward, bend your elbows back alongside you, lower all the way down onto the belly, come to lie down. From here, one arm reaches overhead. You're going to roll over onto your back, flipping over onto the backside. And then similar to how we started practice, bend your knees, feet on the floor. This time, feet can be just about hips distance apart, finding especially pressure through the big toe ball mounds of the feet. So even when we're not standing on our feet, the importance and awareness of knowing how to use our feet well in all of our shapes is, you know, a big through line, I'll just say, with how we handle our bodies in space at any given moment. Arms alongside the body is perfect. Press through the palms down into the floor, and with the hands pressing down, let that feed up into engagement of pressing your upper arm bones down to the floor, feeling almost like the collarbones widen out, almost a subtle lift of the chest away from the ground, even though chest is still on the floor. Good. From here, pressing those big toe ball mounds down, engaging with the arms, I want you to scoop your pelvis up to lift toward the line of the knees. So it's a hip bridge or a pelvic thrust up towards the ceiling. And then as your hips lift, your option if you want to take the hands underneath the low back, interlacing the fingers, and just do a slight rock of your shoulders side to side to rock the shoulders a little more underneath the chest while still finding those feet present, pressing down into the floor. Good. Take an inhale here. And exhale. Yep, you've got one more. Breathing in. And exhale. Good. Undo the interlacing of the fingers. Hands come wide out to the right and left. And then really easy, just lower your hips back down to the ground. Good. Hands can stay off to the sides if you're feeling hot. Hands can also rest on the torso or on the torso, the chest and the belly, a combo, if you'd like. And then once again, feet wide, knees knocking in together, and just let the thigh bones drop down and back into the pelvis. Let the chest rest heavy and down toward the floor. Let the head be heavy, and maybe the eyes coming back into that soft focus or eyes all the way to close. A gentle rock of the knees side to side can be nice here, just to give some movement into the low back if there's any sort of tightness around that low back pelvis space. We'll do a quick hip release before we finish practice. Bring your feet about hips distance apart, so a little closer than they just were. Take your right foot up toward the ceiling, and then hook the right ankle over on top of the left thigh. From there, pull the left knee in toward your chest. Your hands can interlace behind the left thigh. And there's a little needle shape or a needle thread hole, whatever you call those things in a needle, that you can weave the right arm through and then the left arm's on the outer thigh exactly. Head can release heavy toward the floor, so you just let the head, the chest, the top of the neck be soft. A little rock side to side is always encouraged here. Again, a little bit of movement keeps us in the shape. Take an inhale through your nose, open mouth, exhale. Good. Release the grip of the left leg. Let the left foot come to the floor. Let the right foot come to the floor. And we're going to just transition right into the second side. Left leg lifts, left ankle on top of the right thigh, and then pull the right knee into your chest, interlacing hands either behind the back of the right leg or the front of the right shin, head releasing heavy and down to the floor. So you're trying to also catch yourself in a lot of our physical yoga practice on where we like to hold our grip, where we like to add tension into the body that maybe it's not quite as useful. And then seeing if we can just redo pattern work, soften our grip. Take one more breath in and out. From here, hands release, feet release. Let your feet come down to the floor. Bring soles of feet together, knees, butterfly to open. And here I'm going to leave you, and I'm going to invite you to stay maybe for a minute, maybe 5 minutes for rest. I like to extend my legs long in a sort of traditional shape of Shavasana or corpse pose, but you're welcome to take any variation of a resting position that feels nourishing for you right here and right now. Eyes settling back in the sockets, letting the bones, the tissue, the soft organs of the belly, everything just lets gravity do some of the work, falling heavy and down to the floor. Letting you rest, receive, digest the work you've done, the space you've created, and now the space that you're starting to settle to. Take a deep inhale and an easy exhale.
This call is being recorded.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
We just get right into it. We have about like 7 to 10 minutes.
Perfect. Left. Yeah, let's go for it. So Okay. Are you at home or in your studio or where are you right now?
I'm at studio.
Okay. Do you have access to like a clear glass?
Yes. What kind?
Just any kind. I think just clear, ideally clear.
Give me 1 second. I'm going to go get it.
Okay, great.
Okay. Glass on the table in front of me.
Right, perfect. I have one in front of me as well.
Thanks.
And just to provide a little context on this, I do this exercise with my students in my design class as a way to kind of dislodge ourselves from thinking about objects as merely functional. And the unit is called non-objects. So we're kind of thinking about physical objects and also like trying to think about them through almost like a digital frame. But maybe it'll become evident as we do this. And I think the exercise also maybe has implications that I can't necessarily predict. But what I'd like for us to do is just to kind of rest our eyes on the glass and think about all the types, all the different pieces of information that could potentially be extracted from this glass in front of us. We can build off of each other's.
And tell me if I'm kind of going in the wrong direction, obviously, but like the amount of water it can hold.
Perfect, yeah. Okay, so that would be something in relationship to volume. So the amount of water it can hold, I would add the glass's weight.
The weight of the water it can hold.
I would say the highest degree and lowest degree of temperature of liquid that I can hold. Before breaking.
Great. The amount of pieces it's most likely to break into.
I'm maybe going to take this in a slightly different direction, but I'm thinking about at what height the glass would have to be dropped in order for it to break.
I like that. I'll also kind of bring it, I think, in a different direction, but maybe similar. All of the materials and surfaces the outside of this glass has ever touched. That have not left.
Maybe the number of people who have used this glass.
Where the liquid is gathered now that once was in this glass.
The liquid was once this glass, and now where is it?
Yeah.
Love that.
All
I was going to say...
All of the liquid.
All of the liquids, all the different locations of the liquids that
yeah.
once passed through this glass.
Yeah.
I was going to say the amount of time that the glass is in use versus the amount of time that the glass is not in use. What's the percentage of that?
I got one. The thickness of the glass itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like the glass, not the glass, not the whole glass, but like the glass that it's made from.
The wall of the glass?
Yeah. Should we try to like not relate, or should it? Does it
yeah, let's.
There?
We don't have to relate. We can just go. Let's let our imaginations just go wherever they are, and we can. We don't have to go back and forth either. If you have another, just go for it.
The amount of ants that fit in the glass, without
of
being
ants?
Able to, yeah, without being able to climb out.
Without being able to climb out.
Yeah.
I think maybe now I am going down like an animal route. I think like how mine is circular, so I'm wondering like how far this glass would roll on a concrete road if it were just kind of like what's the furthest distance it could roll before stopping?
Mm-hmm. Also for me the curve or the slight curve it would roll on.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if it was on the side and you pushed it, mine's like, you know, a little wide, very bit, teeny bit wider at the top.
How about
can we pick it up or no?
Yeah, pick it up, sure. I was going to say, like, I'm sitting in a room right now with this glass that has like natural light coming in, and I'm just thinking about the glass's like qualities in terms of light. And I wonder if its presence in the room like affects the ambient light quality in any way, because it's reflected or because it's transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Someone could tell us that. A physicist could probably tell us that or something.
Like how it what kind of prism it is or something like that.
Yeah, like is it how absorbent of light or reflective of light is this glass?
Mm-hmm. Where does it move, as in like where does it move the daylight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like looking at it with one eye, holding it up. I'm like in front of my computer. Instead of holding it up, I'm looking at the rim, and I'm sort of looking and trying to think like the amount of changes in color and the different colors that are in line on in a ring on the rim.
Mm-hmm. That's bringing me back to some like really basic ones that we almost maybe skipped, like what's its diameter, what's its height, like what's its radius, what's its, well, width, if it's circular, then width would be diameter, but we said weight, I think, early on.
Yeah.
We said volume. I'm thinking about like price. What about like how much it costs?
Great. I like that direction. How much it costs? How much it costs to make?
Mm-hmm. What's its resale value?
What's its resale value? What's the wage that's paid to the person in production that makes closest contact with it?
Mm-hmm.
How many hands also touch it in production?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also maybe like where is it produced?
Yeah. Where is it produced? Also where somebody that the person that became that came in closest contact to it, where did they come from earlier that day?
Hmm.
Where in the world? Where in maybe an urban environment? A rural environment.
It's like where I'm thinking about that person. I'm also thinking in a way about like the raw material of the glass and where does this raw material come from? Where is it extracted mm-hmm. or how is it gathered?
Mhm. How close to each other are the different materials that come together in this thing mm-hmm. initially?
Yeah, and how far are they from where the glass is now?
And how far are they from where the water that used to be in the glass is now?
What about all the future water?
And all the future water.
All the future water. Where is the water? Where are the liquids that will occupy this glass from this point in time moving forward currently located?
Yeah. This is great.
Are we missing anything?
I think we're missing a whole lot.
I think it's possible that we might be missing some things.
Yeah. Where was the air? The air? Is your glass empty?
My glass is empty, yeah. Is yours?
My glass is empty, too. I guess the corny okay. one is this glass empty?
Oh, I love that. I didn't even think about, like, yes or no on or off data. That's great.
Is this glass empty? Is seeing this glass seen through it or seeing the glass?
Say it again. Is seeing the glass seen through it or seeing the glass?
Yeah. Is seeing this glass seen through the glass or seeing the glass? Do I see the glass, or do I see only the things that I see through it and reflected off it?
Hmm.
I'm not sure I see the glass.
The glass is beginning to disappear, sounds like.
Yeah. There's only the shadow of the glass.
Yeah.
And I wonder,
perfect.
Maybe it's the last thing, how much cooler is it in the shadow of this disappeared glass than in the light that surrounds it?
Mm-hmm. I would love that.
Okay.
Well, thank you for thinking about the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, see you soon.
Thanks for doing that.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, can I order a medium-sized pizza, please?
Medium pie pizza?
Yes.
Delivery or to go?
Delivery, please.
All right, let me get your phone number, please.
It's
713-828-3910. 3910, right?
Yes. Yep, that's correct. Steven.
Steven.
Yeah. What's the address here?
46
Canal Street? 46 Canal.
46?
Yeah, 46 Canal Street. Yes. Number 2. If you can call though when you arrive, that'd be best.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So you say you want a medium pie?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Cheese?
Well, what would you like on it, anyone?
Do you have pesto?
Do you have pesto?
Pesto, no, amigo. I owe you that. I have basil. I can put basil on top.
Basil sounds good. Mushrooms and tomatoes? Okay, cremini, mushrooms, and tomatoes with the basil, please.
Okay, that's gonna be all?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so I'll... You will get it like in 20, 25 minutes.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Have a nice day.
Okay, bye. In approximately 25 minutes, a body four into this immediate interaction will arrive with pizza, completing a transaction and laying to rest any anxieties or doubts concerning the reliability of such things. Housed inside this body are many memories, some less vague than others, many recalled without purpose or necessity. One such unnecessary memory pairs a sensation of sitting with an image of a teenager, carrying a large box onto a public bus. Inside the box is a 15-inch LCD TV and DVD player combo. The screen of the LCD TV and DVD player combo displays an episode of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. In The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Nene is talking to her girlfriend in her kitchen. Behind them is a stainless steel GE refrigerator with Climate Keeper temperature management system. Inside the GE refrigerator is a 12-pack of Diet Pepsi, a half-eaten protein bar, and a Rubbermaid Tupperware bowl. Inside the Tupperware bowl is an iPhone 4 Pro Max with 22% battery. On the screen of the iPhone 4 is an image of a young woman consuming half of a protein bar in one bite. The young woman purchased the protein bar at a CVS after working a 10-hour shift as a dental hygienist. Earlier in the day, a man approached her at the office holding a bundle of smoking sage and a small rectangular mirror cut to the shape of a seashell. In the reflection of the seashell mirror, the woman saw her own well-manicured eyebrows. Her eyebrows were furrowed slightly, reducing their natural resting distance of 2 centimeters to 1.5 centimeters. The half-centimeter loss of eyebrow distance, verifiable by any standard ruler, is the woman's physiological response to an internal state she will hesitate to but eventually identify as confusion. The woman has felt this sensation 3 times before, once on March 23, 2009, when she accidentally applied hand sanitizer to her eyelids, another at the highest point of a vertical jump she performed at a crowded farmer's market in Union Square, and a 3rd time while absorbed by her computer screen during a layover at Newark Airport. On her computer screen was a Word document displaying the phrase, "Lumpiness is information rich," centered both horizontally and vertically, in font type Courier New, font size 16, and highlighted in hot pink. Minimized to the bottom right-hand corner of the screen is a video of a man giving a tour of his guest's bedroom. Framed on the wall of the bedroom is a picture of a baby wearing sunglasses. Reflected on the baby's sunglasses is a roadside billboard displaying a large image of a mountainous landscape. 30 feet below the roadside billboard, resting in a patch of grass, is a contact lens case. Inside the right compartment of the contact lens case is an old contact lens belonging to Sonia Sotomayor. Through this contact lens, Sonia Sotomayor watched the Broadway hit Hamilton. On the stage in Act 2 of Hamilton, a vintage briefcase stands upright on a circular cherrywood table located center stage. Inside the briefcase is a 6-piece of spicy tuna roll. Underneath the smallest of the 6 pieces of spicy tuna roll is a $5 bill folded into the shape of a star. This $5 bill, printed in 1995, was first used by a mother in an attempt to pacify her argumentative child by purchasing them a hot chocolate at their favorite diner. Hanging from the drop ceiling of the diner was a television, displaying live video of a flood taking place over 3,000 miles away. The flood began with a long period of intense rain that started so suddenly it forced a group of skateboarders to huddle for cover under the awning of a traditional Chinese medicine store. Inside the Chinese medicine store is a glass jar containing mushrooms foraged from Shaping Forest. Adjacent to the forest is a stone quarry that produces the granite used in all of the North American locations of Grand Hyatt hotels. In the lobby of the Grand Hyatt in downtown Detroit, a therapist sips from her coffee. She is anticipating meeting her most fascinating patients, a couple seeking remediation after their transition from monogamy to polyamory went awry. The younger of the two is wearing orange parachute pants and white athletic socks with two yellow stripes across the calf. Tucked into the right sock is a half-smoked spliff. Tucked into the left sock is a stick of unwrapped big red gum. Embossed into the stick of big red gum is a zigzag pattern identical to the brickwork of a courtyard in an apartment complex in Taipei. In the center of the courtyard, resting on a wet concrete bench, is a large drawstring bag filled with hot laundry. The laundry is cooling at a rate so fast that the bed sheets it includes will become wrinkled, prompting the owner, who has a thing about smooth sheets, to launder them again. At the laundromat, a loud clanging noise is emerging from a tumbling dryer whose only contents is a single red marble. The marble will be given to a child who will lose it almost immediately, dropping it while crossing the street. The marble will skip across the broken asphalt until it rests on a cast iron grate, balancing precariously until vibrations from a passing box truck cause it to tumble into a storm drain. The marble will travel over the course of several days through miles of dark underground sewage until it is deposited into the city's main river, sinking through the murky water at a steady rate until it comes to rest on the uneven riverbed, in close proximity to hundreds of irretrievable personal objects. The objects possess varying degrees of sentimental value. Some, like a nearby fork, have nearly no sentimental value, while others, like a 14-karat gold heart-shaped locket containing a photo of a spotted dog and a bearded man with a distinctive half-smile, caused great distress when they were lost. The locket fell from a helicopter that departed from the top of a skyscraper located in the financial district on April 1, 2023. The skyscraper regularly employed a professional window cleaning company to clean its nearly 1,500 windows. During the most recent cleaning, two window cleaners hung from the top of the skyscraper, lowering their platform to the exterior of the 59th floor. Through the glass, one of the cleaners briefly made eye contact with an intern wearing a chunky knit sweater. On the intern's desk was a glass paperweight featuring a suspended dragonfly. The dragonfly had been captured on the banks of a lake on the outskirts of Chiang Mai, Thailand, by a paperweight manufacturing employee. The employee was saving money to retire and move to Melbourne, where their second cousin had raised three sons. The middle of the three sons was in the process of applying to medical schools, and in the meantime worked as a delivery courier for Uber Eats. During his first shift, the son was on his way to deliver a brunch order that contained over-easy eggs that were slowly becoming over-medium, when he encountered a mysterious package laying in the street. The package was wrapped in a metallic black and silver checkered wrapping paper that flashed in the bright sunlight as the son rode by on his electric bicycle. On the underside of the package, facing onto the composite concrete, was a label written in exaggeratedly slanted cursive handwriting. Inside the package was a ceramic garden gnome painted in green, red, and white. The gnome would eventually bring ornamentation and joy to a suburban lawn on the outskirts of Portland, Maine. The lawn was large and expansive, surrounding a Tudor-style home built in the 1930s. But it was in serious need of a mow. In the time since a lawn had last been mown, several anthills had formed on the northeast side, closest to the creek, providing refuge to 6 separate ant colonies. The ant colony, whose population was growing at the quickest rate, was ruled by an ant queen that had once bitten a Jack Russell Terrier named Hugo. Hugo was nearly 16 and was a fixture at the neighborhood doggy daycare, Positive, which published a monthly newsletter to any customer who had ever purchased an item or service at their location. Each month, the newsletter featured several animated GIFs of smiling dogs set on a sky blue background with blinking yellow stars, as well as a featured dog of the month. On Hugo's month, 16 customers chose to unsubscribe after receiving the newsletter. The third customer to click the unsubscribe link was a curly-haired fashion model named Jessica, whose cat had passed away 5 years prior. Jessica had adopted her cat from a tarot card reader who lived in a dimly lit apartment above a fragrance store in Midtown New York. Resting on the tarot card reader's bedside dresser was the Tower card, which signaled sudden and unexpected change in the most radical sense, and featured an illustration of a tall building being struck by lightning, rendered in an unusual style that had been slowly honed for years by a self-taught artist working primarily in digital watercolor. The artist often made mental sketches of their work while driving in a silver 2003 Ford Escape to a nearby national park. Inside the glove compartment of the Ford Escape is a national park's official guide to sites and activities. On the third page of the guide is a map of a hiking path of medium difficulty. The path is drawn in a thin purple line with the notation 6.5 km along it. At the point which the purple line makes a sharp, acute turn is a symbol of an upside-down rhombus that denotes a rest area. At this rest area is a picnic table offering a spectacular view from which to take in the changing colors of the adjacent ridge each fall. Just beyond the ridge, on a clear day, a series of apartment buildings clad in white tile is visible. On the top floor of the leftmost building is a balcony overstuffed with a variety of potted plants. Sitting on the balcony is a person in their mid-30s, staring intently at their laptop through wire-rimmed glasses while smoking a cigarette. On the screen of their laptop is the popular luxury fashion website Essence. In the top right of the Essence webpage, there is an icon of a cart with the number 2 superimposed on top of it. Inside the cart are 2 items, totaling $1,333.48. Inside the checking account of the 30-something person is $1,717.19, a difference of $383.71. Earlier that day, the 30-something person had logged into their online banking to view their balance so they could calculate this precise difference. Now, hours later, the screen of their laptop displays that they have been logged out due to inactivity. In a past life, this mid-30s-something person had been a comedian, less concerned about luxury clothing and more concerned about the reception of their painstakingly crafted comedy sets. Standing in front of a brick wall with the bright spotlight beating down on them night after night, they repeatedly rehearsed to a dark and empty room, beads of sweat forming on their forehead, eventually falling onto the stage, creating an irregular splatter pattern across the off-black surface. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, it's Steven, right?
Yes, this is Steven.
What is it? It's on the second floor?
Yeah, I can come down. I'll come down to the street.
Oh, I'm here already.
All right. Okay, coming down. Thank you.